Now, there's been a lot of movement lately in the case of President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Last week, the Department of Justice says it's seeking to drop charges against Flynn for lying to the FBI about his contacts with the Russian ambassador, which he's twice pleaded guilty to in court. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin applauded the DOJ's move during an interview this week with Wisconsin Eye.
What happened at the tail end of the Obama administration into the transition and the whole setup to a special counsel is outrageous. The corrupt behavior on high-level officials in the FBI is just unprecedented, and those people to date have not been held account. They need to be held accountable. No, I absolutely agree with that. I think Attorney General Barr is a person of real integrity, and I appreciate that he did that.
But a federal judge is putting that request on hold. Yesterday, he appointed a retired judge to present the arguments against the Justice Department's position. Also yesterday, Senator Johnson released a list of names of top Obama officials, including former Vice President Joe Biden, who may have sought to unmask Flynn's identity before Trump was sworn into office. So what does all this mean, and what happens next? Kim Whaley is professor of law at the University of Baltimore, a lawyer, a former U.S. Assistant U.S. attorney, and legal analyst for CBS News. She's author of the book, What You Need to Know About the Right to Vote and Why, which comes out next month. Kim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Nice to be here.
So why is the Justice Department trying to get the charges against Flynn dropped here?
Well, according to the papers, the motion to dismiss the charges, the Justice Department is taking the position not that he didn't lie, but that his lies were not material. That is, they didn't really matter to anything that the law enforcement apparatus was legitimately concerned with, which really leads us right to the Mueller probe and the investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. We're definitely seeing the Justice Department take the position that that whole endeavor was somehow illegitimate. And that's why, in this instance, Mr. Flynn's conviction should not go forward.
And you mentioned conviction. He pleaded guilty to the crime of lying to the FBI. How unusual is it for a prosecutorial body to then try to withdraw the case?
Yeah, I mean, it is a conviction. There are different ways of being convicted. Of course, the traditional way would be with a jury trial, and there's a verdict. Here, when you plead guilty, the judge has to accept the legitimacy of that and believe you. And in this instance, Judge Sullivan is very concerned because it's quite unusual, as you indicate, not only at this point for the Justice Department to have gone through all these steps and say, you know what, turns out we shouldn't have done it to begin with, but also in this moment, under the special counsel regulations, the entire reason that Robert Mueller did this investigation that produced this particular indictment and guilty plea and not the Justice Department itself was because, in theory, the public was benefiting from an independent investigation, an investigation that wasn't controlled or called ultimately by the president. And here, of course, Mr. Barr has stepped in. He's very close to the president and has destroyed that sense of independence, which goes as far back to, in various iterations, to Watergate itself. The idea being we want prosecutors calling balls and strikes based on facts, not based on their jobs, not based on political affiliations, because the concern is if that's allowed, then people's viewpoint starts getting criminalized. And that's a very different America than we've grown to know.
And now we have nearly 2,000 former Justice Department officials calling on Attorney General Barr to resign. They say he's acting at the behest of President Trump, a charge that Barr has denied. What do you make of these calls for Barr to step down and the accusations that he's, in effect, politicized this case?
Yeah, I mean, this is an extraordinary turn of events. I mean, we've seen this before with prosecutors coming out and former national security officials coming out and former members of the military coming out. All of this is quite unprecedented. And I think it is, we are seeing a shift in the separation of powers under our democracy right now. There's absolutely no question in my mind about it. As a constitutional scholar, it didn't start with Mr. Trump, but we're seeing the enlargement of the presidency and very few checks and balances balances, and if any, really, we have the election in November. So I think what these Justice Department officials are saying is that it protects all Americans to have an institution of the Department of Justice that calls balls and strikes based on facts and not on politics. And Mr. Barr has been very clear even before he took this office, when he really auditioned for the job with a letter back in June, I think 2017 or 2018. He's made it very clear that he views his job as backing this particular man who's sitting in the White House and not necessarily in the interest of all Americans. And I think that does really concern career Justice Department officials. I mean, I was in the Justice Department as well. And most, if not all, government people in government are really there because they care. I mean, they're regular people like you and me. They have families, they have jobs, and they go to work really wanting to do the right thing. And this is very disturbing to many of them.
Talking to Kim Whaley, professor of law at the University of Baltimore, looking at a lot of stories related to former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn over the last week or two. And now we have acting director of National Intelligence Rick Grenell sending Republican senators, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, this list of former senior Obama officials who may have tried to have Flynn's identity. The phrase we keep hearing is unmasked during the transition to the Trump presidency. Can you talk about what we mean when we use this word unmasked in this context?
Well, you know, our national security apparatus does have quite a bit of power, including intercepting conversations that could be in the national interest our law enforcement apparatus knows about. And so unmasking, it sounds sinister, but my understanding is that it essentially means they intercept a conversation and then identify as part of the investigation of the contents of that conversation who was involved in that conversation. That's the notion of unmasking. It's quite typical. It's routine. It happens under Trump. It's happened under every president. What's somewhat non-routine is to identify the people that were interested in this kind of information within the government. These are not people that weren't entitled to this kind of information. There's nothing illegal about it. There's, again, nothing sinister, nothing violative of the law or even of the interests of the public. But the way it's coming out right now with this DNI Director of National Intelligence, I think creates a perception that's understandable that somehow there's wrongdoing here. But we as Americans need to know what's happening in our national security system in order to stay safe.
And the origins of this were, as I understand it, the intelligence community had been monitoring the communications of this particular Russian ambassador. In the reports, they said that that ambassador had been in contact with individuals. And then the unmasking is people in the Obama administration saying, yeah, who's this individual that the Russian ambassador has been talking to? Do I have that to write in a nutshell?
Right. And that is, of course, Michael Flynn, who ended up pleading guilty to lying to the Federal Bureau of Investigation about those conversations, in part about his discussions with the Russian ambassador about lifting sanctions against Russia once Mr. Obama took office. So back again to the case and the Justice Department's motion to dismiss Mr. Flynn, the position is that this is not material. And I would say certainly it is material. It's material to the investigation, to which we know now from bipartisan Senate intelligence committees, as well as from the Mueller report, that the Russians did interfere in 2016, and they continue to interfere in 2016. And that's an assault on our democracy. It's not a political thing. So materiality, I mean, let me give you another example. If you think of sort of a car crash, whether the light was red or green is material. I mean, if it were red, then that would be a violation of basic rules of safety. If the car is red or green, that's not material. So essentially what the Justice Department is saying is, you know, whether Mr. Flynn lied about his conversations with the Russian ambassador is not material to anything that's in the interest of national intelligence. But of course, why would he lie if that's not important? And I think that's really the question.
We're talking about the ongoing Michael Flynn case and other developments related to the Russia investigation. Kim Whaley is with us, law professor at the University of Baltimore, lawyer and former U.S. Assistant attorney. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a take on the most recent events related to Michael Flynn and the Obama administration in the closing days before the Trump administration came in? Join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how all this stuff works? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about Michael Flynn and the Russia probe with Kim Whaley, law professor at the University of Baltimore, a lawyer, former assistant U.S. attorney, and legal analyst for CBS News, author of the forthcoming book, What You Need to Know About the Right to Vote and Why. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you have to say about the latest moves in the Flynn case? Should the Justice Department have tried to drop these charges? Should a judge allow that to happen? How about requests from former Obama administration officials that ultimately revealed the identity of Michael Flynn as the person talking to the Russian ambassador? Should Attorney General Barr resign over his handling of the case? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kim, one concern that people have raised is, okay, maybe these Obama administration officials deserved access to Michael Flynn's name, but somebody, it appears, leaked it to the Washington Post. And that's something that doesn't seem to be quite all right, is it?
In general, are not good for a functioning government. And Obama was quite harsh, actually, on leakers. And I think that I agree. That is a concern. People leak all the time, but when they're leaking national security information, that can endanger the United States. And that's quite serious.
I want to give a listen to former vice president and now presidential candidate Joe Biden. He was asked on Tuesday before that list came out, asked on ABC News Good Morning America, whether he was involved in an anti-Trump plan to frame Flynn. Here's a little what he had to say.
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, number one. Number two, this is all about diversion. This is a game this guy plays all the time. The country is in crisis. We're in an economic crisis, a health crisis. We're in real trouble. He should stop trying to always divert attention from the real concerns of the American people.
So what's your take on what Biden had to say there?
You know, I have to agree with him because, again, the Russians did interfere in the 2016 election, and that was a legitimate investigation and one that goes to the heart of our democracy. If we don't have free and fair elections where we go to the booth and we choose our own elected officials, if those are distorted, that's really problematic across the political spectrum. And what Mr. Biden is saying, I mean, Mr. Flynn committed a crime. He admitted to committing a crime in connection with that. That's really the smoking gun, not whether, you know, it wasn't sort of optimal in how they got to that point. I think if people commit crimes, that's a good thing that they are held accountable, even if there are missteps going forward to get to that point. I think that's his point. And of course, I also agree with the COVID crisis, as I'm sure many of your listeners would agree, that that's really front and center right now, in addition to the November 2020 election, which is going to, in part, be affected by this pandemic.
Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, this whole thing is in response to the Mueller report, which was a report prepared for the Justice Department, not for public information. Attorney General Barr released the report, made it public so that we could see what was in the report. And there is no evidence of Russian collusion. That's been established. They tried to impeach Trump over this. They failed. There is no Russian. The only influence Russia had was on social media. And people voted, and they voted for Hillary, yes, in popular vote, but Trump won 31 states and won the electoral vote. It was a legitimate election, and this was Comey and others trying to undermine the legitimate election of a president.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Kim, what do you think?
Well, there's a huge distinction between the word collusion and the word conspiracy. And this is something, frankly, Mr. Barr unfortunately blurred for the American public. Collusion is just a regular everyday word. And I think some people would say the Mueller report does show that the Trump campaign knew about the Russians' assistance. And there's all kinds of facts relating to that. And there were communications. What Mueller concluded was there wasn't a meeting of the minds to sway the election. That's conspiracy. That's a legal concept. Very, very hard to prove. You have to essentially find proof that crawls into someone's subjective state of mind. And that's what he did not find evidence of. He expressly said, I did not make a conclusion on the word collusion because it's not a legal concept. And, you know, those contacts with the Russians, I think, are deeply, deeply concerning for every single American. I don't think a Democrat in office should be communicating communicating about an election with a foreign power that our last Republican president, President Bush, included in an axis of evil. Mr. Putin is not a friend of America, not a friend of Democrats, and not a friend of Republicans.
In our last couple of minutes, Kim, I want to look ahead at this election here. Do you think with all the political back and forth that there's been enough effort to prevent future acts of interference?
No, I mean, there's been many bills before Congress to address this since 2016, most of which have been, or many of which, I should say, have been stalled by Mitch McConnell. And we are not only going into an election where they're probably, or at least the intelligence officials say, including Mr. Mueller, that there is attempts. And the caller's not so concerned about social media, but that's a new phenomenon in the digital age, and it's having an impact on lots of aspects of American life, including voting. But secondly, of course, the virus itself is going to disenfranchise a lot of people from being able to actually cast their votes because it's going to be dangerous to go to the polls. There are not going to be as many polls open, and there isn't the funding or legal authority in all 50 states and jurisdictions to vote by mail or to vote early. So, you know, again, the framers of the Constitution, the revolutionaries, they fought and they died to not have a monarchy. They fought and they died to choose their own government. And that is a core American value that cuts across political spectrum. It's not a Democratic value. It's a Republican, Democrat, independent, whoever. The ability to choose for ourselves and not have Mr. Putin and whoever else influence that, I think, is absolutely vital. And I, you know, as a mother, I think it's something I want to cherish and promote for the next generation.
Kim, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking to Kim Whaley, professor of law at the University of Baltimore, a lawyer, a former assistant U.S. attorney, and a legal analyst for CBS News. We've been talking about cases related to Michael Flynn, information released to Congress, the Department of Justice asking to withdraw the Michael Flynn case in the first place. She's also, by the way, the author of What You Need to Know About the Right to Vote and Why, set to come out next month, and we might bring her back to talk about that book.